All right, let's hear it for God, how awesome our God is today, and how amazing our Savior is today. We're talking about fear. We began last week talking about fear, our sermon series about fear. And as the kids learned in Bible school, facing fear, trusting God, I felt like it was appropriate for us also to learn the same principles, because those principles were awesome. And as the kids learned about the Apostle Paul, we began last week talking about the Apostle Paul ourselves. And we talked about things that we fear, things that make us nervous, things that scare us, and how God is bigger than that. You know, all of us have fears, all of us have doubts, all of us have worries, all of us have frustrations, anxieties. We all have those things. And here's what I'm telling you today, that our God is bigger than all those fears that we possess. Not only is he bigger than all those fears, he's able to take care of them and see you through it. Do you believe that this morning? God can do that. God can see us through. And as our kids in Bible school learn their theme verse, it's also our memory verse as well. And we'll have it on the screen, I believe. 2 Timothy is where it comes out of. And let's read this together. We're learning this throughout the whole series. Let's read it out loud. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. 2 Timothy 1:7. We're learning that God does not give us fear. Instead, God does the opposite. God gives us, he gives us power and love and sound judgment, not to be living our lives worried all the time, not to be living our lives scared to death of what's going to happen. God is helping us overcome that and to see us through that. Now, last week we talked about one fear that we faced, and that is the fear of change. We believe that we can't change, that we are born this way and we will always be this way. But aren't you glad through the cross of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, he can change us today. Can't change ourselves, but God can change us. And this morning, we want to keep talking about fear. And there's one fear that a lot of us have. And I'll tell you, when you start talking about it, you get nervous just talking about it. Did you know the number one fear of all people is speaking in public? Did you know that? The number two fear is death. You know what that tells me? People would rather die than speak in public. That's what that tells me. They would rather die than speak in public. So like if I got real close to you and I just handed you the microphone and I got real close. Who's sweating already? Anybody sweating? All right, I thought so. You know, that would make you really nervous. And it was. And we're not going to do that, by the way. We want you to come back to church, okay? So we're not going to do that. But yeah, it would make you nervous. But the reality is that there are times when it's necessary for us to speak up. As Christians, there are times for us to stand up for what we believe in. And the reality is we believe God's word, we believe to be truth, we believe to be eternal, we believe it to be infallible, and all those big, big words, which basically means that we believe the Bible. That we believe God's word. So when the Lord says, don't do this, we take that serious because we know that God has told us why we shouldn't do that. But when we begin to teach these truths, and when we begin to teach these commands, and we begin to teach the truth of God, we get nervous about that. Because when we start preaching or teaching or sharing the truths of Scripture, we know that not everybody will agree with us. Therefore, we get a little nervous and a little scared. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We began last week talking about Paul and how God took a man named Paul and changed his life, turned him upside down. When you read in your Bible, you're going to read about a guy named Saul with an S, but it's the same guy. He ended up changing his name. So I will refer to him as Paul today for the sake of simplicity. But he was a man that was changed. He was a man that was changed by God. When he was a bounty hunter of Christians, just out for blood to kill those of the faith, God changed him, knocked him out of the saddle, got him on his knees, and saved his soul, and made him one of the greatest preachers of all time. We pick up at the second half of verse 19. And the Bible says this is after his conversion. After his conversion, the second half, Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some days. Immediately he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. he is the Son of God. That's what Paul would say. But all who heard him was astounded and said, isn't this the man who in Jerusalem was destroying those who called on this name? And then came here for the purpose of taking them as prisoners to the chief priest. But Saul grew more capable and kept confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that this one is the Messiah. After many days had passed, the Jews conspired to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, so they were watching the gates day and night, intending to kill him. But his disciples took him by night, lowered him in a large basket through an opening in the wall. We'll stop there, and we'll pick it up here a little bit more in a second. Father, thank you for the word. May you bless it. Do a great work. Open up our hearts today. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So here is Saul. He has given his life to Jesus. He has changed. He's went from a bounty hunter of Christians to a preacher of the faith. I mean, dramatic turnaround. I mean, this guy is no longer the same man. He's different. And the very first thing he starts doing after he discovers Jesus, he was hunting Christians. Now he's telling people to become Christian. And what's crazy about this is that as he's preaching and he's teaching and he's sharing and he's ministering and he's doing, the Bible tells us that Saul began to immediately, a bunch of question marks began popping up all around people's heads. They said, is this cat for real? I mean, he came here to kill us, and now he's telling us to become Christians. So they were really scared about that, and they didn't know if he was for real, if he was faking it. Was this some sort of trap to get Christians, to get people to profess and then kill them? What was the deal with this? This was the bounty hunter of Christians preaching for Christ. And now all of a sudden, he keeps preaching, and they realize, this guy really is a believer in Jesus. So guess what we need to do with him? We need to kill him. He came here to kill those of the faith, so he became a member of the faith. So guess what we need to do to him? He now needs his head chopped off. And the Bible tells us that Saul got word of this, and I love this. This is one of those cool New Testament stories. I love it. He gets word. His disciples, and I just, when you read more about Saul, you probably realize that he was probably pushed by his disciples out the window in the basket. That's just who he was, more than likely. But anyway, he gets in a basket, and his disciples, in the middle of the night, he's in this basket, and they lower him over the wall for safety. The Bible tells us, if you read further, that he goes on down to Jerusalem, the home of the mama church, and he goes down there, and even in Jerusalem, they don't know what to do with them. They don't believe them. They're nervous about them. And actually, the Bible says that they wanted nothing to do with him. And these are the ones that are like the proponents of Jesus. These are the big daddies of the faith. Peter, James, John. Paul's walking up, and they say, you're not welcome to this gathering. We are scared of you. We don't like you. But nevertheless, even in the face of being turned away, and eventually they're accepted, a guy named Barnabas comes along, endorses Paul, and he is now proved to be a real disciple of the faith. But even during that time when they said, no, buddy, you need to get away from us, he still preached the gospel. You know, what's amazing about we as Christians is that we are commanded by God to speak the truth. Ephesians 4:25 tells us this, since you put away lying, and by the way, you know that's what happened. When you gave your life to Jesus, when you trusted in God, you put away the old self. You know, there should be a change in your life when you come to know Jesus. You used to do something, now you don't do it. And that's because you're changed. It's because he's in your life. So the Bible says in 4:25 of Ephesians, so you put away lying, and then he says, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor. Because we are members of one another. Christians are commanded to be truthful in our speaking. I love this quote by Henry Blackaby and his son Richard, and it says this. I think it's on the screen. It's really good. Deception permeates every corner of society because the prince of this world is the author and father of lies. The prince of this world is Satan, is who that is. From his first contact with people, Satan has been lying to them and persuading them to live in falsehood rather than truth. And that's from Experiencing God Day by Day by Richard Henry Blackaby. What he says, I think he's right, is that the way the world works is operating entirely under a system of lies. Let's tell you what you want to hear. Let's make just all the excuses we can for everything. Let's not be bold. Let's not proclaim what the Bible says. Let's try to reinterpret the Bible to say something else. And let's just be quiet. And for some reason, the worst thing that has ever happened to us is to offend somebody. is to offend somebody. Guys, I don't know about you, but I can't go to McDonald's without somebody getting offended, you know? What would you like? A large Coke. You want a large Coke? You know? Really, do you really need a Big Mac? You know, I mean, that kind of stuff, you know? And it's just like everywhere I turn, somebody's offended about something. I'm so offended about you being so offended that I'm offensive. I mean, it's kind of silly, to be honest with you. But here's the deal. If you believe it, you should let people know. You shouldn't make excuses for it. If that's what you believe, you shouldn't hide behind it and be scared to tell somebody about it. I mean, if you say you believe Scripture, and then you make excuses and you just pretend that hunks of it aren't in there, I mean, do you really have respect for somebody like that? Do you really have respect for somebody that says, yeah, I'm a Bible preacher, but we're going to pass over this part of Scripture, or we're going to just not mention that it says this? For example, it's time for us Christians to speak the truth in our pulpits, in our lives, in our work. For example, we need to speak the truth about the sanctity of life, that a child is a child at conception. And that child does not need to be aborted. It's not a fetus. It's not a thing. It's a person. It's a person. And we need to understand that. We need to understand what marriage is. We define it as between man and woman, and that's it. That's it. Why? Because that's the way God said it. We speak the truth about pornography. Pornography is not a recreational habit. Pornography is degrading a human being who's made in the image of God. We don't dabble into pornography. You're looking at a child or a daughter of God, treating them like a thing. We need to speak the truth about social justice. When we see injustices happening or groups of people being overlooked or groups of people being hurt or persecuted, we need to stand up for them and to help them. We need not be silent about problems that are happening in our society. We don't just need to yell at them about it. We need to do something about it and love people. If somebody's hungry, we need to feed them. We need to feed them. If somebody needs clothes, we need to clothe them. If something's wrong in our government, we need to preach and say it's wrong. It's wrong. We don't need to be cowards and timid and dance around like we're afraid to hurt people's feelings. I mean, big boy underwear time. Amen? You know, come on. But most importantly, we need not to be afraid. Not afraid to say this statement. If there's anything else I want you to know is this. We need not to be afraid to say that there's only one way to heaven, and His name is Jesus Christ. That's it. Not many religions, not many ways, just Jesus. And now that half of you are mad at me, I love all of you as a whole, okay? Every one of you. But here's the deal. How could I preach a message about speaking the truth if I didn't tell you what I believed? Y'all with me on that today? If I didn't tell you what I believed, it's what I believe. It's what I believe. We as Christians need not to shy away. We need not sugarcoat. We need not sugarcoat. We need not to be afraid to step up and say what the Bible says. Hey, God bless us with some backbone in the name of Jesus. God bless us. Help us, Jesus, not to be jellyfish, but to be warriors and men and women of God. Not sissy Christianity, but men and women of God. Y'all with me, church, on that today? Men and women of God. Not little boys, not little girls, but the real deal. We need not to be afraid. So I'm going to challenge you today to speak up about Jesus today. There's three things I want you to notice from this text. First, we need to speak up in the face of skepticism. In the face of skepticism. The Bible tells us about Paul. He immediately began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. He is the Son of God. But all who heard him were astounded and said, isn't this the man who in Jerusalem was destroying those who called on this name and then came here for the purpose of taking them as prisoners to the chief? So he began preaching. And what happened? They did not believe him. They didn't trust him. They thought that he was a fraud. They thought this was another ploy. They thought it was another scheme that he had. But Paul knew that he had a life change. He knew that Jesus was God. He knew that the Savior was the Savior. He knew that. But he did not let people's opinions about him or their questions about the subject or their doubts about the subject stop him from proclaiming the truth. Some of us, when we get ready to speak up about the Lord, we're so scared to ask a question. And if they ask a question, we're so scared, what, that we won't have the answer. I'm going to help all of you this morning. You ready? You're the Christian. They're not. You automatically know more than they do. You with me on that? I mean, think about it. You automatically know more than they do right off the bat. Why? Because you are in the faith. Y'all with me on that? You're in the faith. You already know more about them. And here's what I love. If you don't know what to say, I love what the blind man said to the Pharisees, don't you? I don't know who he was, but I know this. I once was blind, but now I see. Boy, if you can say that, I don't know all the answers, man. Sometimes I have to say that. I don't know all the answers. We'll try to find them. We'll look them up. But here's what I can tell you. I know who I believed in, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard that which I've trusted to him until that day. I know it, and I believe in it. But in the midst of skepticism, when people say, do you really believe a man came back from the dead? We still must proclaim the truth. But here's what I think is awesome. Even though they have questions and they have doubts and they want to throw this stuff at you, here's what I think is awesome. When they begin seeing life change in you, it speaks more volumes than the most eloquent words that you can ever say. Y'all with me on that? When you're preaching love and Jesus and the truth, and they actually see that you love people, that you care for people, that you love the Word, you study the Word, they'll see it. I always used to laugh. We used to take people to Honduras, and we had to speak through translators. But every now and then, a translator wouldn't be with us. So we would be in a situation where we were there with a native Honduran who didn't know a lick of English, and we didn't know a lick of Spanish. And I always used to laugh at team members. They would ask the person in Honduras in Spanish, and they would ask them, who only knows Spanish, maybe perhaps, where are the bathrooms? And they would say, hey, do you know where the bathrooms are? That person doesn't know any English and has no clue what they're saying. They just kind of, you know, look at them. And then I love what they would do next. They would go slower and louder, thinking that that would make a difference, right? Do you know where the bathrooms are? You know? Just because, now I want to tell you this, just because we get loud doesn't always mean that we're coming across straight. You with me on that? Sometimes some of those that do the most damage to Christianity are the ones on the side of the street yelling at people, not clarifying what we believe, not thoroughly helping people understand that we don't hate people. We love Jesus, and he has a plan for you. So understand that. Just because you yell louder, well, this is what I believe, the end. That's not the way to handle it. That's not the way to handle it. You talk it through. But you still, in spite of that, must speak up the truth. Even when they doubt, even when they don't believe. You know, you can have some great conversations. Don't forget, they're on a journey just like you're on a journey. Amen? Be respectful. Come on, be respectful. Second, speak up in the face of danger. Speak up in the face of danger. Look at Paul's life. But Saul grew more capable and kept confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that this one is the Messiah. So he did answer their questions. He tried his best to prove. After many days passed, the Jews conspired to kill him. Not a good day for Paul. But their plot became known to Saul, so they were watching the gates day and night, intending to kill him. But his disciples took him by night, lowered him in a large basket through an opening in the wall. This is like something out of a movie. He's preaching. They're getting mad. He keeps preaching. They're getting even more mad. And then they're flat angry, and now they want to kill him. So there's this awesome escape scene. They get him in a basket, and they lower him down. I mean, this is awesome. This is amazing. He goes over the wall, and he's in the basket. I just see the basket hitting the ground. Paul come tumbling out, brush himself off, preaching on his merry way. You know, can't you just see that happening? Paul kept on preaching, even when people were threatening to kill him. But Kenny, he ran away. He ran away. He didn't keep on preaching. Hey, you need to read the rest of Paul's life. That's why I told you, from just what I read about Paul, he was a stubborn cat when it came to his faith. He was stubborn. I bet they had to push him in that basket. I really do. It says they took him by night. Isn't that what it says? He's probably saying, I ain't leaving, and they would have shoved him in the basket anyway. You know? That's probably what happened. Read the rest of the Acts. That's probably what happened. But as he kept on preaching, you know, the rest of his life, the rest of how he lived, man, he was stoned for the gospel. He had rocks thrown at him, big rocks at his head for preaching. They drug him out of the city. They thought he was dead. God healed him, got back up. He was in prison for the gospel. When he wrote large chunks of the New Testament, he was in a jail cell strapped to a Roman guard writing this stuff. And then if you read history, what eventually happened to Paul? What happened to him at the end? He was killed. His head was cut off for the gospel. Was there a danger in preaching the truth? Was there? I want to tell you this real quick. We say this to encourage people. And I want you to take it the right way. But we say sometimes the safest place to be is in the will of God. Really? Really? The safest place to be is in the will of God. Let me help you with that. The right place for you to be is in the will of God. Amen? But it ain't always safe. Walking on water, rocks getting thrown at you, dealing with cantankerous people. It's actually really dangerous sometimes. Sometimes it'll get you in a basket over the wall. Sometimes it'll get your head cut off. Well, can you? I don't like that. You're supposed to come in here and tell me you preach Jesus. You're going to have angels all around you. Everybody's going to fall down except Jesus, and they're going to high-five you all the way to heaven. Amen? Don't think so. Jesus said there'll be troubles and trials. Didn't he tell us that? He said, blessed are you when people persecute you in my name. The will of God is dangerous. That's why I told you when you follow Jesus, big boy time, big girl time. I mean, this is not a faith. It just tells you to sit there and do nothing. Y'all with me on that today? This is an active, living faith. I want you to know that. Reality is the danger of telling the truth can cost you invitations to social gatherings, your job. It can cost you your friends. It can even cost you your family at times. But here's the deal. We either live in truth with the consequences, or we live in a lie with the consequences. One of a neat movie that I used to like a lot until they made the sequels and I threw all the whole trilogy out, but it was the Matrix movies. Did anybody ever see the Matrix movies? The first one's the only one that's worth watching. Okay, so there you go. But the first one, there's this really cool scene. And there's this guy, he doesn't know it, but he's in a dream world. And he doesn't know it. It's a fictional movie, but he's in a dream world. And he meets a character who offers him a way out of the dream world. Remember that scene? And they're in that room, and he gives them two choices, the red pill and the blue pill. He says, you take this one on the left, and you know what? You just go to sleep. You wake up. Everything is the same way like it was today. You're not going to worry about anything. But if you take this one, you're going to see what life is really about. It's going to be hard and difficult, but you're going to see it for real. What I love about Jesus is that when we follow Christ, you see life for real. You don't live in a dream world anymore. You see the reality. Is it hard? Yes. But you see it. And here's what I love is that God is so present when you live in the truth. He is so there when you're in the truth. He is there. And you begin to make sense out of life. You begin to have peace in life. You begin to have meaning in life and purpose in life. Is it dangerous? Of course it is. Because you have something that other people don't have. And other people that don't have what you have don't do well with that. Does that make sense today? We must learn to speak the truth even when it's dangerous. Third, we must speak the truth in the face of rejection. In the face of rejection. So you know the rest of the story. He gets out of the basket. He goes home to the he goes to the homeland. He goes to where Christianity got started, preaching. He thinks, man, these are the guys that know the faith. They just come in with open arms. But the Bible says when he arrived, verse 26, when he arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to associate with the disciples. You know who that is? Peter, James, John. The ones that walked with Jesus. The ones we love, right? But what? They were all what? Afraid of him. Since they did not believe he was a disciple. Let me keep telling you something else, too. Historically, when you kind of piece together in the New Testament, it wasn't like he became a Christian 2 days ago. Historically, when you piece it together, you're reading Galatians, the time he spent with the Lord after his conversion, you're talking several years since Damascus Road experience. Several years. And he's still not accepted. How would that make you feel? You're doing everything right, and they don't want anything to do with you. But look what it says in verse 28. Saul was coming and going with them in Jerusalem, doing what? Speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. How many of us, if we were in Paul's case, would we just say, let's have a pity party. Peter and James don't like me. Let's sob a little bit. Let's call somebody and get them to pray for me because Peter doesn't like me. Did he demand to be accepted? Did he bust up in the upper room and say, this is how it is? No. What did he say? Well, if this is how it's going to be, those of the faith, the leaders of the faith won't have anything to do with me. I'll just go back to Judaism. He couldn't do that. Why? Because he had seen the truth, remember? Once you see it, you can't go back. It's too crazy. It's too amazing. You can't go back. So what did he do? He kept preaching. Now, to fill in the rest of the story, there was another disciple named Barnabas. His name means encouragement. Sometimes when you see a brother in rejection, you need to be a Barnabas to them and encourage. We have a lot of negativity. We need more Barnabases in the church. Amen? Amen? More Barnabas. You prone towards negativity, go take a Barnabas pill and call me in the morning. Amen? Okay? Paul needed a Barnabas. Be a Barnabas. He brought Paul up. He said, this guy's for real. I endorse him. I stamp him. And then you read the rest of the story. Paul and Barnabas go out on missionary work, and God does great things. Great things. Gospel's preached. But here's what I know, is that when you preach the truth, the devil can throw something at you that's harder than rocks. He can do something to your head that's harder than chopping it off. He can isolate you from people that you love. Boy, that's tough, amen? He can cut you off from your coworkers and your friends. You used to be there at the cooler, you used to be there at the lunch table, and now you're sitting by yourself. Reject it. Used to get invited to go to barbecues, go places. Phone doesn't ring anymore. You're the Jesus freak, remember? They got to watch their language when they're around you. Your family may ridicule you. This one's tough. When you stand up for the gospel, you stand up for what the truth of Scripture says, and then your family turns your back on you. I don't want you to raise your hands, but some of you can relate to that. And I just want to, I think the verse is in there, Eric, and I just want us to see this next, Psalms 27. I want us just to see it. It says, Psalms 27:10, even if my father and mother abandon me, will you just say this with me? The Lord cares for me. Some of y'all need to hear that today. Can we just read it together? Because this is, some of us need healing today, and we need the scripture to heal us. Are you ready? Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord cares for me. Even if you're rejected by family, he's not just going to say, pat you on the head, go play, you're okay. He's going to care for you, he's going to pick you up, love you, and walk you through that. So when we start talking about the faith, telling people about Jesus, just speaking up for what we believe in, speaking up for what's right, what's wrong. I want to just end the sermon with this. Proclaiming the truth. I start thinking, why is it so hard for us just to say what we believe and to say what's right? Why is that so hard? And I begin thinking about that. And really, the Bible tells us, doesn't it? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Paul quoted David. He said, you know, all men have lying tongues. Remember when he said that in Romans 3? Maybe the reason why we don't like to tell the truth is because we really are more comfortable with telling lies. Y'all with me on that today? It really is easier to tell a lie than the truth. See, we are sinners by nature. You with me on that? We don't do good naturally. We do evil naturally. We are born into sin, and we grow into sin, and we do things that aren't of God. And the reality is, no matter how hard you try, no matter how good you are, if you die in a state without Jesus, you will spend an eternity in hell. And even when we get saved and God comes in our life and He saves us by grace, we still have a struggle, don't we? With the old nature and the new nature. And we're wrestling with that and we're struggling with that. And it's hard because it's so easier to go back to the lies than it is to go forward into truth. It's easier because that's how we're wired. We're wired to rip people off. We're wired to take stuff from people. We're wired to lie. We're wired to do that. But that's why we need Jesus today. Because if we don't have Christ, we will continue to live in the dark. Why is it hard? Because that's who we are. But I believe today that if we give our lives to Jesus, He can take that old nature and transform it into something new. Don't you believe that? And even when that old nature raises its ugly head, we can say, hey, my old man is dead because of the cross of Jesus. The blood has killed that old man. And because Christ rose again, I'm a new man. I'm a new woman in Jesus. And that's not who I am. I'm in Christ today. Folks, why are we letting fear stop us? See, God wants us to live in truth. And I just want to ask you one last question. It's on your notes. Do we care what people think? Or do we care for people? One of the hardest things in the ministry is to tell people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. Today, are you living in truth? Are you walking in the light as He is in the light? Maybe today you've never given your heart to Jesus. I pray today that you know that He loves you just as you are. He doesn't want you to live in darkness, but in light, not lies, but truth. He wants to guide you and lead you. Maybe today you need to give your heart to Christ and you need to come forward and say, Kenny, I need Jesus as my Savior. Maybe today you've been struggling with speaking up. Face that fear, trusting God. Father, we love You. We thank You for King Jesus who died for us on the cross. And Lord, today we pray that we will walk in the light as You're in the light, that You would do just a great work in us. So Father, help us not to shy away from what we believe, but to boldly proclaim it. But Lord, always to proclaim it in love and a spirit of truth, and a spirit of love and truth. Lord, may we give You honor. And Lord, if there's someone today that doesn't know You, may they be saved today. May they come forward for prayer. May they give their life to Jesus. Lord, if someone today doesn't know that You're the only way, may they believe and trust. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Maybe God's speaking to your heart and you need to come this morning. I'll be right here. Maybe God's leading you to step out and to give your life to Christ. Let's stand. Let's worship. Let's respond however God tells us to respond.